Welcome to Anarchists and Androids. I am your host, Logar the Barbarian, joined today by my co-host, parenthesis, I. Welcome.
Hello, everyone.
We saw a movie in the movie theaters that I liked.
Shazam 2, Fury of the Gods.
Fury of the Gods. So, I'm going to preface this with one thing. I don't know how much people are into old Shazam, like the old black and white, the old 70s Captain Marvel shows that were out there. But if you were into the 70s show, there was a cameo from the original Billy Batson in here. Did you catch that?
Oh, well, first off, I didn't even know that there was a show in the 70s.
For Shazam. See, that's what I'm saying. So you got to be a Captain Marvel fan. I'm a fan of it. I'll be honest. I have not seen a lot of the 70s show. I have only seen some. I've seen more of the older black and white serialized type things that came out. Now, what's interesting and great is let's talk about the name for a minute. Shazam used to be Captain Marvel in recent years because of the so many Captain Marvels that existed between Marvel and DC. Eventually, they gave up the name Captain Marvel and went into Shazam. And I've always had a hard time remembering, it's not Captain Marvel, and readjusting my language for it. But Billy Batson from the 70s show, who is now no longer a young boy, he's an older gentleman, shows up in his little Billy Batson red shirt with like blue pants and little yellow trim in the crowd, almost like how Stan Lee used to show up for cameos. And everybody's asking for the name of Captain Marvel or Shazam because he hasn't figured a name out. And it's Billy Batson that screams out, "Captain Marvel!" And they finally name him for Billy. I was like, yes, it's Billy Batson naming him Captain Marvel.
I
loved that part. I was one of my favorite parts of the movie just because they called him it. So let's talk about this movie. I'm reading some negative reviews. From what I've seen, there's a high audience score but a low like critic score that this is getting.
Yeah, I guess I feel like I'm more like the critics myself. Like like this was a good lighthearted film to kind of take your mind away from, you know, all the BS of everyday life, but like there's no real profound message to this movie.
I'm not going to disagree. I agree. And this is a Captain, the way I see it is looking at those old Captain Marvel comics, it's kind of what they were. They like, especially the early stuff, you had like Hoppy. Did we talk about Hoppy last time?
It sounds like a cartoon rabbit character or something.
He was one of the Marvel family. You know how they have the whole Marvel family? I'm sorry, the Shazam family now?
Oh, Shazamily. Yeah,
the Shazam family. They also had a bunny, like a big giant Bugs Bunny character with an outfit that was in the family who ran around with them back in the day. It was Hoppy, the Marvel bunny, I think is what he was called. Hoppy the... I'm going to Google it while we're here so I make sure I'm right.
God, that almost puts the whole Shazam thing into like Nickelodeon territory then.
Exactly. Yeah. That is Captain Marvel. That is Nickelodeon. Like, I read those comics. It's not
Grim Dark Batman.
It is Captain Marvel. It is kind of Nickelodeon territory comic book. Yeah. That's what I'm looking for when I see Shazam.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Yeah. And definitely, I feel like I like the first Shazam movie better than this one.
Oh, really? I kind of like the second one a little more than the first one. I'm curious as to why you like the first one more.
But the first one had more of a focus and a purpose of what it's trying to get at. And the second one is just kind of like random people that are kind of bad guys for no real clear reason. And yeah, they never really explained that much. It's just kind of like stuff happens. And then, at the very ending, of course, spoilers, right? Wonder Woman comes and just magically fixes everything with like the brush of a hand.
I honestly felt that it very much encapsulated the spirit of a lot of the old comic books that I remember reading with Captain Marvel and the Marvel family. It's been many years since I've read them, though.
Oh, yeah, me too.
It was vibrant and colorful. They were fighting all kinds of magical creatures. I think it's very appropriate. Shazam, they kind of emphasize that, you know, the wisdom of Solomon and then the strength of Hercules. And how the name spells out all these legendary things, these legendary mystical myths. And then you bring in through this movie, what happens is they plant a tree, like the tree of life or something along those lines, that gives birth to all the fantasy creatures you remember. Barry Harry, Harryhausen, is that his name, that did all the old like Clash of the Titans and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember the name. But, yeah. Oh, yeah, but it's interesting because, like, I did, you know, used to live in the Philadelphia area. And so I found it kind of interesting that the movie takes place in Philadelphia and, like, different parts of the city that I recognize getting trashed by these magical creatures, including, like, they have the Phillies, a baseball stadium, is, like, where they plant the Tree of Life.
I liked it. Oh, and from the start, Darla, who she's she's the youngest of the family. So here's the story. If you haven't seen Captain Marvel, they lean into the Captain. I'm sorry if you haven't seen Shazam. I did it again.
Because there's the Marvel movies, Captain Marvel with Brie Larson.
Yes, because Marvel and DC both had characters named Captain Marvel, and Captain Marvels were more vast. They had Mar-Vell going back, who was in the comic book in the, I think it was the early 80s, The Death of Captain Marvel, where Captain Marvel died of cancer. Then you have Monica Rambeau, who was largely my Captain Marvel from the Marvel universe coming up in the 80s, as I was reading during the Secret Wars era, wasn't that popped off and things like that. And Monica Rambeau was a big part of the Marvel universe in that era. Was
that character in WandaVision also?
That is, yeah, that's Monica Rambeau. She was originally Captain Marvel before Miss Marvel, who is Carol Danvers, becomes Captain Marvel in the comic books. And we could go on about this forever. There were quite a few different Captain Marvels. Shazam Captain Marvel is the DC realm, and he had his family there. And in the early books, there was Captain Marvel Jr. So that's kind of where some of the joke we get about every Power Man and every Power Man Jr. Isn't that what they called him?
Oh, yeah.
in the movie, they're making jokes about the names, and then who's Jr. and who's whatnot. Because originally, the hero with the blue lightning in the lightning bolt on, as opposed to the red, was Captain Marvel Jr. No. Now, if you want to get into some really weird comic history, they remade the whole story under a different name when rights were up in the air, under Miracle Man, essentially. And then the Miracle Man Captain Marvel Jr. storyline became a totally new hero with a new name in a whole new lore. So there's a lot of weird spinoffs that occurred in the comics over the decades with these characters. And that gets into the darker realm of, like, storytelling there.
Yeah, and then there's a connection with Black Adam too.
Yes. Well, here's the thing with Black Adam. Black Adam's original character was an obscure supervillain from, like, the 30s or 40s. He wasn't seen a lot. I want to say it wasn't until, like, sometime in the 90s when Black Adam started popping up as a more predominant character within the pages of the Justice Society, specifically because Captain Marvel Shazam was always kind of associated with the Justice Society, which brings me to the thing that made me geek out probably the most in this movie is the, spoiler alert, post-credit scene.
Or the first post-credit scene, because there were two of them.
The first post-credit scene where they kind of name drop, we want you for the Justice Society.
Yeah, and two characters from the Peacemaker TV show.
Yes.
They brought them in to recruit them, which they previously hadn't established any connection between those characters and the Justice Society.
And we have already established the Justice Society as existing within the Black Adam movie, where we see Hawkman, Cyclone, Atom Smasher, and Dr. Fate as all part of the Justice Society. But it's implied that there was an older Justice Society. This is the new Justice Society, which is very kind of in line with the comics, because there was an older Justice Society of the 40s. Then it was relaunched with some of these characters being like, we're the classic heroes, kind of old. And they kept on bringing new versions, modern versions of those original Justice Society heroes and other heroes over the year, and putting them into the team. Like, Robin was in the Justice Society at some point in time in the 70s before he became Nightwing. wearing a weird amalgam suit that looks like it's got Robin colors, but it looks like the Nightwing suit and stuff like that. He was in there with Power Girl, and Power Girl kind of stayed in from the 70s further as a mainstay character. Now, I'm just rambling way too much off about JSA. Let's talk about the movie.
Well, it's interesting because I think maybe they intended for the Dwayne Johnson to reprise his role as Black Adam to appear in this movie, but then I guess it didn't work out. So instead they got like Lucy Liu and Helen Mirren to come in and play bad guys.
I don't think that the intention was for Dwayne Johnson to be Black Adam as the villain in this film. I do think that those things were always intended to be separate. I think that there was a consideration for some of the cameo scenes that apparently were not finalized in the final film of Black Adam itself to introduce Captain Marvel and Shazam into that. But outside of that, I think that this was always kind of just meant to be a standalone Shazam, Captain Marvel, Marvel family style or Shazam family style film. I could be wrong, though.
And I've also heard that this film is the last like full DCEU film, and that the next one, the Flash movie, is going to like reset the timeline to like make way for the new James Gunn DC universe.
I'm excited about this, to be honest. I like what James Gunn does. I also really, I'll be honest, with the second Shazam, Fury of the Gods, I loved the movie. And I love it. I like it better than the first. And I really love the first one. It's a very popular movie in our household. It's become a holiday movie. We've been watching it around the holidays and more. And everyone in the house seems to like it. I got a chance to go see the second one. It was Thursday night. It was the opening night. It was like the earliest we could possibly get it. I got to take my whole entire family, all the kids, my spouse, and everyone. We were all there. So we showed up to the movie theater, and our little movie theater here in town is only like $6.50 to get in. Much better price than other places, but it's also not one of those fancy ones.
Oh, it's not a big AMC theater.
No, it's the same movie theater that I used to go see. It is an AMC, but it's not big. And it's the same. It's the same little physical building that I would remember seeing that we would go see movies in like throughout the 90s. That's been there for well over 30 plus years. What I like about it is that it is kind of just small, local, and inexpensive. But also, like, when we went to go see Fury of the Gods, it was just my entire family in there. Nobody else was in the movie. We had the whole theater to ourselves.
Oh, yeah. And that happens a lot when I go to movie theaters now, like being like the only person in the theater. And that makes me wonder how these theaters can like stay in business if they're not having that many customers.
Everything's going to just happen. I do think that the theater is going to be more of a niche thing, kind of like how you have these little... we have a lot of these little local markets now that show up, pop up, where people sell things that they might sell on Etsy or whatever, kind of a niche hobby thing. I think that theaters may be going that way, where it's less like the big mega theater and more like niche hobby things. I could be wrong, but I think the future of theaters is on a downcline is a massive thing, especially with the introduction of streaming.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll see. I think most things probably just need to be released streaming at this point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, with Shazam, like, so yeah, back to the movie, right?
it's
weird. Like, I realize, yeah, there's a lot of kind of like kidnapping of people that happens in this movie. Yeah, right? Or like, you know, capturing people, you know, like the wizard character is captured at some point before the movie and takes place. And then at one point they capture one of the bad people, and then a bad person leaves, you know, escapes, right? And just, yeah, so a lot of that's happening. And there's lots of like taking people's superpowers away and then them getting superpowers back again later on. That happens a lot as well.
And that just 100% reminds me of like the late 70s, early 80s superhero cartoons that I grew up on. That was the kinds of things that you would see it.
Oh, people get captured all the time, yeah.
And then, oh, I lost my powers. Like, oh, help, I've got my powers back. Yeah. Yay!
And even like when like the Captain Marvel, Billy Batson character died, like I knew that moments later he was going to be brought back to life somehow. No doubt. Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I don't think Captain Marvel, or I'm sorry, I keep on saying Captain Marvel, God, Shazam. I don't think Shazam needs a warrants or even has anything there to come up with a Oscar-worthy film.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think you compared it to Nickelodeon, and I've read a lot of those old Shazam comics. It is a Nickelodeon comic book.
Yeah, you could do a Shazam movie similar to that Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie. Like, really dark and serious.
And so, like, before they put these out, I had an ideal Shazam Captain Marvel movie that I wanted to see with the whole Captain Marvel family in it. Only the thing that I thought it should have been modeled after, or the way it should have been done, is like The Incredibles, DreamWorks, little cartoon cuties, like they're doing with the current Mario CGI cartoon. I really think that's almost a perfect format for these characters. That's the way I perceive them, just from growing up reading them as a kid.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, there's also like the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, like, yes, animated. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you could do it like that. And then, yeah, also I think there's going to be upcoming. No, I think it already came out. I just never saw it. That Superman Superdog movie that's animated also.
Yeah, there's. I'm aware of it. I think that is out, isn't it? I'm pretty sure it's on HBO or something. I haven't watched the Superdog movie.
Wow, yeah. I think it came out last year, yeah. So yeah. I never saw it, but however that movie is, maybe that could be how Shazam is, you know, animated like that.
If you look at the illustration, it is, the old illustrations are very cartoony. Yeah. They aren't like the most realistic thing. It is vibrant colors. It is kind of, you know, out there fun. I like it. So the movie itself, though, I think what attracts me to it and my favorite thing is kind of this community family theme through it that has sort of a positive message. You have the kids are hiding the fact that they're superheroes from the parents, the foster parents. I don't know if that's an important thing to impress or not. And so there's like this whole like little dynamic within the little hero family, and that really gives it that kind of, if I was a little, you know, going back to being like a 13, 12, 13, 14 year old kid watching that, I would get really excited. Like, yeah, I want to turn into a giant superhero guy too, just like Captain Marvel, and not just be a little boy.
But and then also in this movie, like the bad guys, right? Or you could say they're a family also. They're like three sisters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They just happen to be thousands of years old.
Yeah. So they actually have to fight the gods who the powers came from.
Yeah.
So Captain Marvel, the word Shazam stands for, let's see if I can remember. And I know it's Solomon is the S, Hercules is the H. Is it, who's the A? Is it
Athena or Atlantis? Or
what is it? Here we go. What does Shazam stand for? I'm Googling it.
Oh, so it's an acronym.
No, it's Atlas.
Oh, okay.
And so Solomon, Hercules, Atlas, Zeus, Achilles, and Mercury are the ones. So you've got all these ancient gods there in the name. That's where the powers came from. And in the first movie, you get the staff, you know. So we're struggling over the power of the gods, essentially, is the whole overarching story of the second film. If you go back to the first, he breaks the staff in half that gave him the power in the first place, which we discover is even more powerful than we thought it to be.
Oh, yeah. And then that broken staff is in a museum in Athens, Greece.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the bad guys break it out and eventually they fix it.
Yeah. It's the MacGuffin. It's sort of a MacGuffin, I guess, that staff that twines, that weaves through the two movies and kind of makes them. The superheroes are destroying property and messing things up. Since they're just kids with these powers, that they're kind of seen as disasters in the city. Like they're not exactly being perceived by the news networks as heroes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They start out with a big fight on the Benjamin Franklin Bridge that I've driven across many times. And they destroy the bridge and stuff in the fight. And they kind of blame the whole Shazam family on that.
Yeah, it's all falling apart, and that these kids come in to save the day with their superpowers. They save some people from dying.
Yeah,
they also do massive property damage. And under capitalism, that's the worst thing you can do is property damage. That's worse than killing someone.
Yeah, I mean, like seeing like a meme, like it says, like, it's, you know, somebody, a picture of somebody with a frowning face, and they say, when Superman picks up your car and throws it at the villain and misses.
And that's that's kind of these superheroes. I like that they're kind of portrayed as like maybe not, oh, they've saved the day, but they got these great powers and they're kind of destroying and messing things up and breaking stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They basically destroy Philadelphia in this movie.
I mean, what else would kids do with that much power? I got two kids, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. Because like before the foster parents know that the Shazam kids have these superpowers, they just don't understand why their house keeps on repeatedly getting struck by lightning.
And then they come to find out that it's when you say Shazam, the lightning, the power comes in, it's frying the house. Well, they're turning into superheroes.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. It's fun. It is. I like it because it's fun. It's lighthearted. Is it, should you rush out and see it now because it's going to be the greatest thing you've ever seen? Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't see how superhero movies can be like, oh, that was the greatest thing. Because if you read these old comics, lots of the time it was just lighthearted fun and just like quick action for kids to get excited about, color, bright colors and stuff like that. Those are the elements that made a lot of those comics.
Now, speaking of bright colors, I'm surprised that you haven't mentioned the commercial right in the middle of the movie for Skittles.
Oh, it was the greatest product placement ever. It was so funny. I couldn't laugh because we're talking about some of these product placements are just so common now. And they do this whole Skittle thing, like, oh, well, the unicorns eat ambrosia, they say. Well, the closest thing that we have to ambrosia, Darla comes to find out, is Skittles. And she finally, after talking about, after talking about unicorns and how the unicorns aren't real, and that she finds unicorns from the Tree of Life, they jump on unicorns, and she's armed with her Skittles, and she takes off and she screams, "Taste the rainbow, motherfucker!"
Yeah, and if you want to tame a unicorn or bring them to you, you bring out your Skittles and that would do the job for you.
Yeah, so the Skittles apparently will tame unicorns. We had quite a bit of a product placement with the Skittles there. Yeah. They were brought in a few other times where she was like, oh, well, you only, what color was it that she gave the person who they held captive of Skittles, she gave them only one color.
Oh yeah, yeah. She's gonna give it to the Helen Mirren character. Yeah.
and that's I have had that occur with children bringing me a giant pile of a single color of Skittles.
And this is your color.
You get this color. I picked them out for you. So they hit the nail on the head with that, I feel.
Yeah.
I'm curious as to what survives from this era of DC films after the Flash movie into the next thing. I think that some of these decisions are going to end up being made by what makes the most money in a box office, really, not, you know, some of these characters may get scrapped from the original run of DC movies. We're getting our first reboot in the comic film world. You know, if you've been reading comics since you were young, you're used to getting reboots every couple of years from DC or Marvel. And DC is actually beating Marvel to the punch of rebooting the universe.
Yeah, that's interesting because like the MCU started before the DCEU.
And it's still going a little strong. Now, they've also introduced the hardcore into the multiverse stuff in Marvel, which will bring all kinds of changes and mix-ups, I'm sure.
Oh, wow. Oh, you're right. Yeah, so like this current phase here with the multiverse and King, it could result in the whole MCU being reset.
Oh, that would be interesting. I kind of hope not, but we'll see. I want to wait for that reset for a bit. I'm not ready for it.
Yeah, and you could like recast like Iron Man and Captain America and all that.
Oh my, this will be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think that they'll do a hard reset at Marvel just yet. I think that we're gonna have to wait until maybe after Secret Wars and stuff like that. There's gonna be, I'm curious how we're gonna get mutants into the universe because there are some questions on how they're gonna frame that and phrase that and integrate it.
Oh yeah.
And I'm wondering if we'll actually just see the Fox X-Men in the MCU. more before we see the MCU's original X-Men, but we'll see.
Oh, yeah, because we do know that Hugh Jackman is going to be coming back as Wolverine in the new Deadpool movie.
Yeah, so what direction they're going, I'm not sure 100%. I think the next big thing out, though, is Guardians of the Galaxy for Marvel, which is coming in at like 2.5 hours long, they're saying.
I guess the Flash movie is coming out this year, too, I believe.
The Flash is coming at some point in time this year. It's got Michael Keaton revising Batman as well.
Oh,
as
oh my
Ben
God.
Affleck.
Yeah, that has me super excited. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sad that we're not going to get to see our. I want to see our Shazam Captain Marvel more in future things. I'd like to see him contend with the Black Adam, but even more so, I'd like to see him just interacting with the Justice Society. At the end of the day, I'd really love to see just a period piece of the Justice Society, though, that's set in the 40s or 30s type stuff. That's some of my favorite comic stuff as a kid. I discovered it, you know, I wasn't around in the 30s and 40s, but I was discovering the old comics in the 80s and the reboots of the comics there. So, like, of DC, this is my favorite superhero team stuff.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, I guess you would have to like appeal to James Gunn somehow and to get him to greenlight a Justice Society movie.
And I'm not sure if like the way that they're approaching this in the future, they're saying that they're going to have Elseworlds alongside with this DC universe continuity that James Gunn is creating with his new Superman movie and a Brave and the Bold Batman. We're going to get new Superman, new Batman. I don't see why we wouldn't get a new Captain Marvel as well.
Yeah. And do you know, is there going to be any TV shows and the DC TV shows on the HBO Max or something?
So here's the thing is that they are going to have TV and film like in the same continuity or the same canon, what I'm reading and what I'm understanding from this. And one of those things is like even the cartoons will be. I know that the monster is a Monster Squad. Isn't that the name of the comic that I may be pronouncing. I may be getting my names wrong. It was the Monster. Or no, it was the what was it called?
Well, there's Doom Patrol.
Which, no.
The most recent Doom Patrol series is weird because, like, I think it was season 4 and they just stopped right in the middle of it. Yeah.
Creature Commandos. It's not Monster Squad. Yeah. The Creature Commandos comic book, which apparently is going to be a cartoon that they're making.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a cartoon, just the name alone.
Yeah, well, the thing is that they're saying that the actors who voice and play the characters in the cartoon will also be doing them in live action. And one of the earliest ones they've cast was Ron Perlman as Frankenstein.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm thinking we might be seeing a live action Frankenstein Creature Commandos with Ron Perlman leaking into some of these other things that are coming out through DC. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah, to be like a trend now that I notice this happening, like of having the same person that does the voice acting for a cartoon playing a live action version of the same character. Because like that happened with Bo-Katan from the Star Wars universe. And then the characters from Star Trek Lower Decks, they're animated, but they're going to be doing a live action version of them in the future.
Oh, are they? I did not know that. This will be interesting. This will be interesting. I need to. I've only seen a few episodes of the Lower Decks. I have not seen the entirety.
Oh yeah, no, I love Lower Decks. Yeah, it's but it's all like it's like adult animation, so it's all like cartoon and comedy, basically.
Yeah, it's very. It kind of takes off of that trend. People call it adult animation. Was it like Family Guy and stuff like that?
Oh yeah, Family Guy and Rick and Morty.
A lot of those things that they call adult animation, I think it's probably mislabeled calling it adult animation because there's not much adult or mature about it. It's often just immature, dirty humor that they call it adult for. It's like immature.
Yeah, or they curse a lot.
Yeah. Things like that. So I was like, I don't know how adult this one is here.
Yeah.
So we have spent probably more talking about the overall, like, Marvel and DC universe than the actual Captain Marvel Shazam movie itself today, which is, I don't know if that's positive or negative.
Well, and I mean, I guess because like also before the movie itself, you know, they had previews for like other like stuff like The Flash and I think Guardians 2 also had a preview.
I don't even recall what we're all. I do know that they had a Flash preview at the beginning. Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to try to. I've seen so many previews for superhero movies lately. I can't remember what was what. I like Shazam Captain Marvel 2. It isn't a like I said before, it's not what I would call a award-winning
intellectual.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of a kid's movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And they don't even really, like, as far as like from an anarchist analysis, they don't even really recognize the existence of a government or capitalism. They're just superpowered people running around doing things.
Yeah. There isn't a whole lot that interacts with the wider world. Their whole entire conflict exists within a magic side pocket of fantasy worlds. Anything that's public is just kind of them screwing up as kids, you know, publicly.
But, I mean, one weird thing is like the whole dynamic is that character, the boy who's like kind of disabled, but he's also a Shazam person. And then he kind of falls in love with one of like the gods, 6,000-year-old god who looks like a 16-year-old girl in the high school. And then they fall in love and they kind of reference it like that. It is kind of weird that a 6,000-year-old person would fall in love with a 16-year-old. Yeah. and they point that out, but then they just continue on with it. You know, they're a couple.
Yeah, it's like, okay. I mean, and I'm not gonna lie, that's something that I've seen a lot in movies and TV over the years, especially things like Doctor Who and stuff like that. It is something that there's happened more than once in movies that has not been acknowledged. So at least they acknowledge it here.
Yeah, and then also like they have like these bullies that like pick on that disabled kid. And I think it happened in the previous Shazam movie too, where like they kind of beat the crap out of this disabled kid. And it's just kind of, everyone's just like, oh yeah, you know, kids will be kids. That's what happens.
It says the Captain Marvel Jr. character is Freddie Freeman.
Oh yeah.
And Freddie Freeman goes by the OG, like Billy Batson. So there was the old way that Stan Lee said he would remember names was by giving the person the first and last name with the same letter, like Peter Parker.
And Clark Kent would be alliteration, yeah. Yeah.
Or Bruce Banner and Matt Murdock. So Freddie Freeman and Billy Batson, both kind of, those names kind of stem from that. And oh, I might add, also Mary Marvel was the original name, where they still use, now it's just Mary, but it was originally Mary Marvel.
Yeah, I guess it's alliteration, they call it. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just kind of thing. So I you have anything else we need to add to a discussion about Fury of the Gods?
But maybe this would just say rest in peace Shazam, because this could be the end of it now when they reset the DC universe.
Oh no, I want more. I want more Shazam. I love it. I'm having fun with the Shazam movies. They make me happy. I would like one more. I would be extremely thrilled with just one final Shazam movie to go with them and watch them. But the two that I got, I do like. I'm going to watch them when they come to HBO Max and everything else over, probably occasionally, because, you know, it's fun and my kids enjoy it too. Oh, one more thing I do want to add is the actual, right now as we're talking about this, Rotten Tomatoes has the tomato meter, where it is like the reviews and whatnot as a 51%. But the audience score is an 87%.
Wow.
Which is much higher. The audience seems to like it much more than the critics do, which is where I lie. I'd say that 87% is not a terrible number to give this one. That's about all we have today. If you've enjoyed what you've heard, check us out next week. This is the last week of the weekly podcast Wobblies and Wizards going every day, so you can check me out for the rest of the week here. We got a few cool things I'll be singing. And where can they find you online, parenthesis I?
Yeah, I'm at parenthesis I, that's spelled EYE, .blogspot.com for some of my writings. And then at parenthesis I on Mastodon.
And as always, everyone has their own rebellion.